following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of serving as the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm so glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. A number of weeks ago, Easter Sunday, our resurrection text ended with three verses, John 20, verses 19 through 21, that I found really convicting. They read, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" This text, these verses, were convicting for me because it forced me to think about whether I am too often like these disciples. Inside, locked, with the doors locked out of fear. And so this short section became an important and a powerful call to me, for us, to do some work looking at what it means for each of us to be sent as Jesus is sent, and as Jesus sends. And so we embarked on this Bless series. There have been some really great materials, and maybe you have, you know, a little binder at home with these that you, I'm sure, have all kept and put in a very safe place. Put out by our denomination, they've been really helpful tools. And the important part of that to me is that you realize that it's not a program. This isn't some program that we're doing. It's not a script that we're working through or memorizing. It's a way for each of us to engage in that scariness of evangelism in a way that makes sense to each of us. And so it began where any ministry or any attempt to follow Christ must begin, with prayer. Prayer asking God for the names of 3 to 5 people he is calling us to engage with. Prayer simply for those names. The second week, we looked at the importance of listening with care, asking questions that allow people to share what they want and need from you, and then listening to their responses, really listening, not heading in with an agenda, but with open ears and eyes to hear from them. Last week, as good covenanters, we talked about eating together. We talked about how profound sharing a meal, even a meal as simple as a Diet Coke and a bagel with cream cheese, can be. Because sharing a meal is a way of affirming that you see value in the person you are eating with. It is a way to show that person that you care about who they are as a beloved child of God. And so this week, we're going to take the next step into our Bless series, looking at the first S. You know, you a little bit think when they come up with an acronym that it would be 5 different letters. So like when I had to type the title of this, it's Bless. They all the other 3 were Bless, you know, dash B, dash L, dash E. This one I had to do dash SE because there's 2 S's. Make things very difficult with these multiples of letters. But the S this morning is serve. Serve with love. And so we're going to look at a couple of texts from the Gospel of Mark. Before we get into our scripture, though, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you speak to us through your word, that we might know your Son better, that we might follow him more closely, and that we might learn to serve as he teaches us to serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So first, we're going to look at Mark 10, verses 35 to 45. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, either for today or to keep, feel free to raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be happy to bring you one. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Here we have another one of those interactions with the disciples where I know I have initially looked down on James and John. And frankly, kind of the rest of the disciples in this. James and John have this statement, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask." Come on. Come on, James and John. You know better than that. Or you should know better than that. This is not what this is about. This is not what following Jesus is about. Jesus is not Santa Claus. That's not the way this works. But if I'm honest with myself, if we're honest with ourselves, perhaps we sometimes treat Jesus this way. "Jesus, we want you to give me what I'm asking for." And whether we know that's true or not, I'm afraid that too often we act that way. We act as if Jesus owes us something because we have decided to follow him. That we are the ones doing Jesus a favor by following him. The other disciples likely felt the same way that James and John did. And their indignance was frustration that they didn't get their request in first. That James and John beat them to the punch. That James and John got to ask their question first. And so Jesus responds, and his teaching here is particularly important. He responds, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Following Jesus is not about getting something. It's not about earning a place. It is about being a blessing to the world. It is about serving. Serving the world, serving one another, serving our neighbor. And so this morning is about learning to serve with love. So we're going to take a look at another story here from Mark that teaches us through Jesus' example what serving looks like. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. There are three key lessons that I want us to take away from this story of Jesus healing the deaf and mute man. The first thing we see in this story is the importance of proximity in who and how we serve. Jesus heads from Tyre and Sidon, two towns on the Mediterranean coast, all the way down to the south of the Sea of Galilee, the region of the Decapolis, or the Ten Cities. And Jesus headed to this region specifically to serve the people there, to be with them, to be in proximity to them. And this idea of proximity is something that we have to ask ourselves about when we are thinking about how God is calling us to serve. Are you in the place that you are in because God sent you there? Or are you there because of real estate values, schools, job, family, because it's where you've always been? Even recognizing the way we understand where we are located, whether that's in terms of your home, your job, your school, etc., as the specific place to where we are sent, is an important step in serving well. Just changing that mindset. Instead of it being a place that you have ended up, recognizing it as a place that you have been sent, that God has sent you where you are. And there's a responsibility there that comes from being sent. If we look at where we are as something other than God's intent for us, it's easy for us to blow off our responsibility. The reality is, though, as Dave Ferguson writes, God has either sent you to the people you are to serve, or he is going to send you to the people you are to serve. Proximity is important to serving with love. And so is empathy. There's this funny little phrase that I really love in this reading, in verse 34, that says, Jesus looked up to the heaven and with a deep sigh said, Ephatha. With a deep sigh. Every commentary that I've read on this phrase in this verse has highlighted the fact that Jesus here feels the man's pain. Jesus is entering into this experience with the man. Jesus' sigh is with empathy. Jesus feels what this man feels. Jesus personally puts himself into life with this man. For Jesus, this is a sigh of pain, a sigh of suffering, right alongside a lifetime that this man has spent deaf and mute. And so preparing to serve this man, preparing to heal him, Jesus enters into life with him. Jesus empathizes with him. Jesus gets personally invested in who he is, in his life. He feels his pain, and so he sighs right alongside. As we prepare and to serve others with love, it is vital that we step in with empathy and know that, like Jesus, we have access to the incredible power of the living God. Because just before Jesus sighs, he looks up to heaven, and with the power of the Father heals this man. And Jesus in John 14:12 promises that we have access to this very same power as we serve him. And if that's true, because that's true, our prayers matter. Our petitions matter. Because they have power. Dave Ferguson tells this story about a friend of his named Adam who works in a retail store. It is definitely not Adam's dream job, but he needed work, so he took the job. Adam asked God to use him in that store to bless the people around him. And just as we have been encouraging, he began by praying for the people he worked with at the store. After working there for a while, he got to know his boss, Jeremy, and they quickly became friends. Jeremy made it clear that he was not a Christ follower, but because of the growing friendship, he willingly engaged in conversation about God, spirituality, or religion, as he called it. As Adam and Jeremy got to know each other better, my friend learned that his boss was a single parent and his son had chronic health problems, some really serious stuff. While on the store floor, Adam noticed Jeremy seemed kind of down, and he asked him, "Is something wrong?" Jeremy told him, "Yeah, it's my son. He's broken out in severe hives, and the doctor can't do anything about it. Since I can't send him to school, he's at home by himself, and I'm really worried." Adam wasn't sure what his boss would say or think, but he asked, "Well, do you mind if I pray and ask God to heal him?" To Adam's surprise, without even pausing, Jeremy says, "Sure, go ahead, please do." And Adam said, "I will." The store where they work is always busy and full of people, so Adam looked around for a quiet place to pray and ended up in the bathroom by himself. Yes, that is, you know, sometimes the best place to find some quiet and to pray. And Adam simply prays, "God, you know I love this guy, and he's hurting because of his son. I know what you can do, so please heal Jeremy's son. Please take away his hives." Having finished the prayer, Adam headed back out to the sales floor. Literally, only moments later, Adam sees his boss across the room with this astonished look on his face. Jeremy walks over to Adam and says to him, "That prayer thing, it really works. Your God must be real because my son just sent me a text 2 minutes ago that said, 'Dad, you'll never believe it. All my hives are gone.'" A guy who is not a believer said, "Your God must be real." And why? Because he saw the power of God at work. Jesus teaches us about the power that we have access to through him. And so as you serve, don't limit your hopes and your expectations of what you can do to what you are personally capable of. God is able to do so much more through you. If you are faithful, if you draw God into it. Jesus teaches the disciples and teaches us that whoever wants to become great must be a servant. Jesus himself did not come to be served, but to serve. And so in the coming weeks, spend time praying about how you can serve those on your list. Serve in proximity. Serve with empathy. And serve knowing the power of the living God is far greater than anything you can do yourself. Let me pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are thankful for your challenge and for your teaching as we seek to serve those you love, those that you are teaching us to love. And Jesus, we are thankful that you came to be with us. We are thankful that you know and feel our pain, that you sigh a deep sigh in empathy with us. And we are in awe of your power to do the miraculous, and your power to use us to do your work in the world. Help us make ourselves available to do your work, to serve as you would have us serve, that we might bless the whole world. We pray this in your holy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.